have been in the Philippines. They're going to go back at least for a little while.
Yeah, for a month.
For a month. So God is changing their ministry before their very eyes, and they've done a lot of stuff in their lives. And some of the most significant stuff has been in the Philippines, for sure. So they get to go back and minister, and it's the ministry's changed, but changed in good ways. And God is doing some amazing things. And we're going to learn about that today. I'm going to learn about that because I don't know everything that's going on. And so let's start. We're going to start by saying a word of prayer for Mark and Patty and Becca. And then we'll pray when we're done, too. But cool. We'll do that during communion. So you've got, let's be cool about this now.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've got until, we'll say, 20 after.
Okay.
Wow. 20 after. Okay.
That's just a half hour.
I got to tell you, we had a church one time. So just, you know, share your heart and everything that God's done. And you have 4 minutes. We'll put that on the screen.
Yeah, three,
and they did.
Two.
Okay, huge letters. Huge numbers. And there's even video of me trying to share. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm thinking. All that God's doing.
In 4 minutes.
Yeah. Go!
Well, we're going to limit God to half an hour today. But let's start with a word of prayer for my brother and sister. Dear God, thank you so much for Mark and Patty. Thank you for giving us a chance to be part of their lives and their ministry. And I know their hearts. I've seen their hearts. It is for your kingdom, God. Their hearts are for your kingdom. And they want to grow it and expand it and do what they can. They offer themselves as a living sacrifice. They are no longer their own. They belong to you. And I thank you for that, dear Jesus. And I pray for Becca, too, Lord, who's in college. I just pray for her heart and her mind. Lord, thank you so much for the years that she's put into ministry. She's given her heart to it too. Lord, I just pray for that, and I pray for this dear family. I pray that you'll give them encouragement and joy, and that they'll be a blessing to each other and to you, and I know they're a blessing to us, and I pray that we'll be a blessing to them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You guys dismiss the kids. We'll have the Ramblers go with Stacy, the Explorers go with Julian, the Cross Stewards and Wizards you can stay in.
No! Things are falling apart.
Referred to me as like taking a car in for, you know, the overhaul to get everything worked on. So I had 4 surgeries and a bunch of rehab, and so we were getting ready to go back, and right before we were headed back, I broke my wrist, which was not expected, and so I had a plate put in, and you know, we're packing and we're selling everything, and this was, what's our date?
That was 2020.
Mm-hmm.
August of 2020, we sold everything to go back to the Philippines.
Yeah. So we go to Texas to, our ministry is located there, and so we needed to do a bunch of paperwork and work with our accountant and stuff, and everything was going to schedule.
Yep. Got our legal stuff done that we needed to get done before going overseas. And there's a church that we attend regularly in Texas that, of course, we were going to while we were there for the 3 weeks we were scheduled to be there. And we were staying with some friends. And as we were headed to church one Sunday, we went past a ministry that we've driven past multiple times before. And this ministry is a Youth with a Mission ministry, if you guys are familiar with YWAM. This particular ministry is called Living Alternatives, and it's basically a ranch in rural Texas that's probably about 50 acres that has a beautiful home on it for girls who are in an unplanned pregnancy and don't have support. And if you guys have any history, know about like Keith Green and Last Days Ministry, this was actually their house that they did this type of ministry in back in the early 80s.
Yep.
And And they have other kind of life-affirming type ministry stuff that goes on there. They have an adoption agency. They have like foster care support ministry. And they have a pregnancy resource center, which is what I did here in Albany before we departed. And we drive past it, and the Lord really puts on my heart big time that everything that we have done historically, you know, working with YWAM Nehemiah House and pregnancy resources.
Labor and delivery.
I'm a registered nurse, labor and delivery, and just everything that we've done historically lined up with that ministry. And it touched me on a really deep emotional, spiritual level that what overwhelmed me, and we're driving. And I turned to Mark and I was like, is God putting something on your heart right now?
I was like, I think you need to work there, but that doesn't make any sense because we're leaving in a week. So how does that work out? I was like, well, it doesn't make any sense, but we're like, okay, God.
So we pull into the church parking lot and we just give it to the Lord because he knows the timing, but it seemed very much like
odd.
Something was happening.
Yeah, something brewing that couldn't figure it out. You know that smell? You're like, where's that coming from? So couldn't figure it out. So we head to the airport and, you know, we've got everything down to two suitcases and we're at the Dallas airport and our special visa didn't come through and they said, no, you can't go. Oh, so you're kind of sitting there and then it was like, oh, wait, I think I know where we're supposed to go. We just got that direction. Okay. So we just got back in the car, drove 2 hours back where we were and showed up at their door and said, do you guys by any chance need some people? And she said, well, come on in and sit down and tell us more about yourself.
And I put together a resume of my experience, and basically they looked over it and they said, of course you're here. And they were like, just 2 days ago, we were having a board meeting, and we really felt like the Lord is leading us. I explained already the ministries they had going on there, but they said, we really feel like the Lord's leading us to purchase a mobile clinic and to start doing the pregnancy resource type ministry, bringing pregnancy testing and early ultrasound to women across East Texas. And at the board meeting, they said, well, who's going to run it? And they're like, we don't know. And they were like, well, we need to table this idea until you have somebody. And really, 2 days later, we're knocking on the door. And if you guys don't know already, I got to learn how to run a mobile clinic ministry when I was living in Oregon, in Albany. They actually sent me for training to learn how to do it. And I got to launch that mobile and start that process.
Well, even that... That was such a God thing, because when Patty passed me, don't grab it if you're going to let it
sit. You're talking!
So she drives by the place in Albany, and she gets this sense that she needs to go back and talk. And she goes back there and talk, and they're like, oh, well, you're amazing, but we don't have a position for you. Well, let's create a position for you.
Well, they didn't say that right away. But they did.
They created, they didn't have a position for Patty. So they create this position. She helps pioneer this ministry. And then that leads her to Texas, where they say, you know, the very specific things they needed, the finding the niche of finding Patty. And then plus it's all volunteer. So finding somebody that has all those skills that's going to do it for free is even more, I mean, just finding the position is hard. And then finding someone that's funded and willing to do it for free. So they just lost their mind. They couldn't believe it, that she was there. And so she started doing that right away.
Yeah.
training. She has written all the policies and trained everybody. And I always joke that it is true. It takes about 4 or 5 people to equal one Patty. So we're trying to raise up people. But as Patty was doing this, the heartbeat bill came into effect.
So it's like the Lord really led this ministry to prepare for something we didn't even know was coming. And you guys probably heard about this over international news about the Texas heartbeat bill. And so we actually launched our services last year in the end of July. And by August, we're providing services 3 days a week. I mean, it just boomed. And here we are establishing service in 3 different cities, and the heartbeat bill goes into effect September 1. And September 1, women started looking in a panic for where do I go as soon as they find out they're pregnant. And they, you know, that's one thing we do when people are spiraling. It's like, let's sit down and talk. Let's find out what your situation is and find out where their heart is, what their circumstances are, and process it with them. Because most people, when they find out they're pregnant, their world kind of goes,
either good or bad.
Good or bad, yeah. But it's still, even those that are looking for having a baby, you still go through that anxious thoughts that come into your head, like, am I really ready for this?
The process of them coming on the mobile unit is, when I've seen it in practice, is just as much ministry as it is the physical aspect. And so they get a chance to really dive deep into where they've been, where they're going, and Patty's very sensitive about, you know, listening to what their real needs are. And they've had people come to the Lord, they've had all kinds of, because it's very much, you know, they're allowing you very deep into their lives, both physically and spiritually.
Yeah. And so we start seeing patients in a panic, which we're so glad they found us. It was like we were in place at a supernatural, such a time as this. You know, God set it up. He knew what was happening, and He put us strategically in place. And we see patients all the time. And it makes me think about my pioneering work in Albany. Like, we were happy if we got one patient coming on board.
A week.
For being
like,
out 2 days a week.
Good week.
Yeah.
One person came.
Every time we touch down, we see 2 to 8 people.
Wow.
And
A day
each time. Yeah, yeah. It's been incredible. It's been totally incredible. And the exciting thing is, you know, here this whole ministry, you know, has a home for women who don't have support. And our home is full right now because it's just been incredible. These girls that come, you know, come from really broken situations.
Some just out of prison.
Yeah.
Yes.
And some of them, you know, are foster kids themselves, hadn't had good examples of parenting, and just have lots of pain and trauma in their history. And being able to walk with them. And
so we live on the campus with them. We live in a separate little house that God put us in. And so their house is about 100 yards away.
Yeah. And so I'm the resident nurse, so I get a lot of questions asked to me regularly, medically. Yeah. Pretty much any time I step into the house, I've got 3 or 4 girls going, I need to talk to you with questions about pregnancy.
And she loves it.
Yes.
So, you know, this is going on, and then when the borders open up, we told them, we said, oh, when the borders open up, we're going to leave. And they're like, okay, if you have to. And so the borders open up, and the initial reaction for us was like, okay, we're going to go, because that was the whole intent. And then a realization of what, like, God was very specific about us being here. So maybe we should pray if we are supposed to go. It's funny how that praying becomes like, you know, the third thing we think of, when it should be like the very first thing we think of. But so when we prayed about it, to our surprise was that we needed to stay, but that we could go back for a month. And so I've been running things in the Philippines, so I generally don't sleep very well at night, which works great for the Filipinos' time schedule. because 1 to 3 in the morning is, you know, noon there. So I've been running the different food programs and the things for Subanga and the play program and the outreach to the mountains. And so I've been working on that while she's been doing the ministry for, and I support her. So when they have a big event, I run like a little carnival for the kids so that the kids don't come on the mobile unit and play with the neat equipment, you know? So I do little things to support her and she does things to support me. But now the surprise is that now that we have two ministries and not just one. And that is a surprise. That's because we, you know, we had our hands full with one. And part of my thing was like, you know, God, I didn't ask for this to expand. I my preference, you know, people's like, expand my ministry. I was like, I just want to do it better. I want to do what we do more efficient and have better, just all in and do it well. And so now we're led to do two.
And honestly, in our doing two, we've got staff, you know, volunteer missionary staff on the Living Alternatives base that are like single moms with boys that don't have dads around. And so Marco's doing what he naturally does, which is, let's go play some basketball, you know, and let's start building relationships. Oh, you don't know how to fish? Let's do some fishing, doing stuff alongside them. And so he is just naturally mentoring probably about 5 different boys right now that live right around us. I mean, so that's kind of under the rug because it doesn't have some kind of formal ministry title to it, you know, but it's happening.
Yep, and for me, a lot has happened because in the midst of this, some kids wanted to build a treehouse and a family that we've gotten to know. And so I started building this treehouse with them and teaching them how to use tools. And, you know, you just look for opportunities to share and, you know, learn about them. And it's really powerful. So we're getting, I would say, we're about 70% done and we're putting up this, you know, we're using old pallet wood and stuff, and it's turning out pretty nice because the East Texas gets really hot, so they're like, well, how about insulation? It's like, yeah, well, we could do insulation. And how about a, you know, shouldn't we get an AC unit? And it's like, well, okay, we're getting out of clubhouse, but so we're, you know, we're making it really nice, and we're putting up, I had just went out with the whole family that day. Out for pizza and just really getting close with the family. And we're putting up some sheeting about 12 feet up. And the ladder, someone had used the ladder to cut wood, and the blade had scored on the ladder, in the middle of the ladder. And when I was up reaching for something, the ladder snapped in half. And my feet got caught in the ladder, and I fell on my head on the ladder, and got a concussion and fractured 2 places in my back, and couldn't breathe. And they rushed me to the hospital. And you know, in the midst of that, I'd been through a bunch of stuff in the Philippines and gotten hurt, and was rehabbing out of it, and starting to get healthy again. And you know, in the midst of that, all this other pain comes up. And all these questions, and it's like, you know, I'm trying to help, I'm loving on people, and why am I back in this situation again? I would say 2 things if you're ever in this place, or if you're in this place right now. That spot is this split of asking 2 questions. Why did this happen? And that leads down this road of comparison and doubt, and I believe the enemy's down that road. And then what do I do now? Which leads you right to the foot of Jesus. Because the why thing, there's so many things you're not going to understand, and you don't have to understand. Just like when you tell the child not to play in the middle of the road, and they're like, yes, but it's a great place, and it's nice and hard, and there's pretty lines. They don't understand why. And you don't have to understand why. But as I started the why things, and it just, you know, I'm back here again, I was just getting better, and why, Lord? And that healing of even just old wounds that I'd never quite dealt with, you know, it brought up those other things, other hurts that I had ignored. So ignoring a hurt is not the same as being healed from a hurt. Okay, just because something's in the closet or in the basement, you don't have to deal with it on a daily basis, but it's still there to be dealt with. And you will deal with it one way or another. Did we get that song queued up? There's this particular song that has ministered to me in the past and just reached right down in my heart. And doggone, you know, you think after being ministered to by something several times, it's like, oh yeah, it's just that song. But once again, this song came on and met me right, the Lord met me right where I was at. And the reason why I bring this up is when I was praying about coming here, I felt like that this congregation specifically needed to hear this. Because the thing about carrying hurts is you can be totally justified in some of your hurts. They did this to me. You're right. And they were wrong for doing that. Or this happened. And it did happen. And it wasn't your fault. That injury technically isn't my fault. And you go, you know, and when our son died, it was like, yeah, we didn't have any say in that. And there's these hurts that you are might be justified for having, but they are limiting us. They are holding us back. And the enemy's using them. A lot of times those hurts keep us from expanding out because we hold on to it because we deserve it. They did that to us. Or this wasn't fair, and I'm going to hold on to this. And as we hold on to that, that also keeps us from doing other things because we say, well, I don't want to get hurt again. And so I was like, well, I don't know if I want, you know, if helping I get hurt, do I want to keep stepping out? And the Lord's like, I'm here. I'm going to meet you right where you're at. Go ahead. So in context of that, this isn't the song.
This is your life?
No.
What's the song?
I won't let you go.
Is it still Switchfoot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Good song. That met me at another place.
Give me a second now.
Okay.
I was given false information.
Oh.
I hate when that happens.
I'll blame myself.
Is this it?
Yeah, we'll play after the ad.
Oh, we'll listen to the ad.
I was going to say, nope, that's not it either.
Ring a bell. Okay, let's try. There we go. And it burns like third degree. And you wonder, what is it worth? When your inside's breaking in, and you feel that ache again. And you wonder what's giving birth. If you cut the pain of the past, go through your soul. No, this isn't your control. If you could relax, you got it down. If you could trust me somehow, well, I swear. Let you go.
also God meeting me in this place, saying, I have you. You don't have to understand. What's happened in the past is the past. If you give that to me, I can take you to where you need to go. And I still don't understand. I don't understand why our house burned down. I don't understand why son died. I don't understand why some people turned against us. I don't have to understand that. But I can give those things to the Lord, and I can step out again. And just going even back to the Philippines, it's like, hell, but what's gonna, I don't know. I just know that I want to love, and I want to step out again, and I don't want to let those hurts of the past keep me from doing of the love of the future. Don't let the hurts of your past keep you from the love of your future. Yeah, but they hurt me. They did. And you can be healed and you can move forward. So that's my encouragement to you guys as we're stepping out with the encouragement and prayers. And but you need to know that it's hard no matter who you are. I mean, some people make it look easy, but it's still hard. Loving's hard, it's messy, but it's hard enough as it is. You don't need to try to carry stuff that you weren't designed to carry. You weren't. Jesus says, that's the reason why I died, was to take that stuff. Don't carry what I have bought. I bought those things, put those on me. You're not designed to carry those things. Don't let the hurts of your past stop you from the love of your future. Anything you want to
lead in? So we're going to do this like we do with the testimonies.
You can hear me, can't you? We have questions. Do you have questions? You may have a question for Mark and Patty and or Patty. I'm sure there's one way back there, Beth.
What are your financial needs with this trip?
So those of you that know Pastor Ben, he kind of wants to do a ton of stuff. And which including building a church, you know, taking the staff out, getting him a rest, you know, there's things that are broken, fixed, you know. The Subangan washed away 4 months ago because of a class 4 tsunami, so we're rebuilding typhoon. And so, you know, there's lots of different things that we're working on.
So Mark, not everybody here knows exactly what's going on in the Philippines.
Okay.
What we're doing there.
Okay. So Squatter Village on Mindanao, second biggest island out of 7,107 islands, just for perspective. Kind of in the middle of the island, little town that God directed us to, in this little fishing village. And so if you can picture like bamboo huts like built onto each other using tarp and plywood and whatever's washed up, you know, and thatch. So we lived there for nine years, and Patty started a clinic out of her house because the first couple weeks we were there, somebody died of dehydration. They had diarrhea for a week, and they died from it. He's like
27-year-old male.
So we were like, that's ridiculous. So we opened up our house as a clinic, which means, you know, we had people there all the time. It was a great problem. And so we just began pouring into getting kids to school, sponsorship, food programs, work programs, teaching people how to fix their houses.
Also, we partnered with the Nehemiah House. You guys might know about that a little bit historically. And that was a home for girls that had been sexually abused. They had three different houses, and sometimes we had to shift girls around a little bit because of their abusers looking for taking them out. Because
they have this crazy law that if they die, then the charges won't be held against them, so they would send out hitmen So we sometimes run into them trying to get to the girls. So there's all very different laws there. And so in the process, and some of your members here were a part to see this happen, which is really kind of fun because you're the only ones actually to claim this. I had this vision of starting this playground out of a dump site, but I kept telling God, no, it's too crazy. I don't know how we're going to do it. So finally, when I said yes, he took care of the garbage part. The Coast Guard showed up the morning that I said yes to the Lord. I've been saying no for 9 years. Nine months. And finally, I was like, okay, God, I don't get it. It's not my land. It's thousands of pounds of trash. How in the world am I supposed to clean up a beach that's not mine and claim it as mine? And I showed up and it was all clean. And I'm just standing there. I'm just like, what am I how? And I asked one of the guys that lived there, and he said, oh, the Coast Guard showed up 6 o'clock this morning with 100 volunteers and they cleaned it all up. And I was like, they do that every year? And they said, no, they've never done that ever. And I was like, oh my gosh, I should have said yes 9 months ago. And so this is when they came to visit, and I told them the idea, and they're like, yeah, sounds great, let's do it. And I was like, I was thinking about starting with some soccer goals. And so we built these really heavy, clunky soccer goals out of coconut wood and fishing net. And we actually have pictures and video of the very first soccer game we played there. We scored a goal together.
We did.
And celebrated, probably over-celebrated. And then, so fast forward, now it's been how many years since then?
10 years.
10 years, so we see anywhere from 50 to 200 kids come play on that. They get a free meal, they get Bible stories, they have basketball and swimming and volleyball and teeter totters and climbing thing, all made out of bamboo. And the city has unofficially said that's ours. I mean, the mayor came down one time and did a dedication to it. Yeah, crazy, right? Is that crazy?
Wow.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I know. To me, that's just like...
And you teach the kids about Jesus.
Yeah, we have Bible studies every... So before the meal,
they're
kind of a captive audience.
And then there's also Bible studies that we originally started.
Yeah, that are still going on
using that piece of property.
Yeah, so that's kind of a nutshell of what the Philippines.
Yep.
Any other questions for Mark and or Patty? All right. I'm going to wait till after during communion, then I'll do an all-encompassing prayer. You guys can take off. Just stick around.
Right.
You can take off the stage.
Gotcha.
And I'll take your microphones.
Okay.
To share in your blood and your body, we thank you that you gave those for us. You did not hold back from making that sacrifice out of obedience and out of love for us. It's a love we can't even begin to comprehend. But we do ask that you would help us to continue to believe and trust in your love, which changes everything in our lives. We thank you that you willingly died on the cross for our sins, for our lives, and to give us life. We thank you for that life, Jesus. We thank you that we get to share that life with others. Somehow you entrust us with that privilege, with that responsibility. We thank you for Mark and Patty out there doing that every day. And Lord, thank you for everyone in this building having the opportunity to do that with their friends, their neighbors, their families, with people at work. Lord, we just thank you that you've put people in our paths that we get to show and share you with. Lord, help us as we do that. Take away our bad habits as we sit here and we ponder these things. Take away our reluctance. Take away our hiding and our shame. We know that you have. We know that you can.
And so we submit to you as you do that, Lord. And we thank you so much for the privilege. We ask that you go with us this week and today. And we thank you for Richard and Kathy, who have been part of our church for years and have been a blessing to us. And they reflected Christ to me as they're doing now out of the camp. We thank you so much for that. We pray your blessing on them and their continued marriage and their continued, the blessing that they are to us and to others. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.